Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Let's chat now about debut authors, first-timers. What happens when a first book makes a splash? Is it a one-hit wonder, or perhaps a sign of more greatness to come? And should you, dear reader, pick up that debut author book? Our book expert, Tracy Thomas, has thoughts. She hosts the podcast, The Stacks. Tracy, welcome back.
Hi.
So let's begin with Stephen King. His debut, okay. Carrie, came out 50 years ago. How do you think about that and how it put him on the map?
I have to tell you, when I looked up Stephen King's debut, I was shocked that it was Carrie. I mean, I think of that as being one of his most important books. And so I was really surprised to see that one of his most lasting books was his first one.
Because a lot of authors, they just kind of get the engine going, but they don't produce their best works for a while.
I think, like most people, your first shot at something isn't necessarily going to be your best or your most well-received. I think for artists, you know, you think about a debut album and then, you know, then you think about down the line, like Michael Jackson, Off the Wall, great album, but then you get Thriller, yeah. Right? So I was just surprised how Carrie has such a cultural hold, I think, in the horror space, and thinking about how that was his first one. He's had other huge hits, obviously, It comes to mind, but it's interesting to think that Carrie was his first one because of the cultural impact that it's had and still has.
All right. And then let's talk about Amy Tan and Joy Luck Club. My goodness, what a cultural moment that was. It, of course, became a movie years later. But how did that propel Amy Tan?
I mean, I think that that's the book that, again, she's still really known for that one. She's written many books. She actually has a new book coming out this year, I believe, about bird watching, a nonfiction book. But I think when you say Amy Tan, most people think of the Joy Luck Club. And I think that's sort of a different situation than what we have with someone like Stephen King or someone like Toni Morrison, whose debut was The Bluest Eye, which is an extremely well-known and beloved book, but maybe isn't celebrated as her best. I think with Amy Tan, this is the book that people look to as like the quintessential Amy Tan. And again, it might not be her best artistically, but it's certainly the one that has stuck with her name the longest.
Yeah. So a couple different models, a couple different first hits to think about. And then there are first books that some might argue are kind of one-hit wonders. An author, you know, doesn't get a whole lot of attention after that. You put Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird in that category.
Yeah, because it is. I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird is sort of this one-hit wonder. And then in 2015, they published Go Set a Watchman, which is considered both to be a sequel of To Kill a Mockingbird, but also was the book that Harper Lee was working on before. But she then died the next year after that book came out. So technically, it's not a one-hit wonder, but for her whole career, it really was. And then this thing that existed that maybe Harper Lee didn't want published, but maybe did, it's hard to say, there's some controversy there, does come out and kind of remove the one-hit wonder technical title. But I still believe that it is. This is the book that we know from Harper Lee, and it is the singular book.
Yeah. Any others on your list?
I think the one that I think about the most is Gone with the Wind. I was shocked to find out that Margaret Mitchell never wrote another book, because that book was, I mean, talk about a hit.
She never wrote another book.
She never wrote another book.
Wow.
She died kind of young, I believe. I think there was an accident. So I don't know, maybe she was working on something else, but no, that was it. Just Gone with the Wind. I think if you're going to write one book and you want it to be successful, that's sort of the model, I guess. But as far as people where maybe their first book was like their most famous lasting success, and a lot of people don't even know that they wrote other things, I think about The Outsiders by Essie Hinton, which is a young people's book that people probably know because it was turned into a movie, Tom Cruise. It's about, you know, young gang boys in the 50s, greasers. And I read it in school. I loved it so much. I think some people still read it in school. She did write other books, but this is the one that really, it's the only one I think most people know off the top of their head.
Give us some examples of authors who followed up their first hits with subsequent success and have books going forward.
These are two of my favorite authors ever, so get ready. These are exciting books for me. One of the authors, his name is Hanif Abdurraqib. He is a poet. He then went on to write an essay collection that folks might know called You Can't Kill Us Till You Kill Us, which is his first like full-length book, but he did have previous poetry collections, which are also fantastic. And he has a book that just came out in April called There's Always This Year, and it's his book about basketball, but then he's also talking about home and grief and belonging, and he's from Ohio. Oh. So this book is about LeBron James and Ohio basketball and also his father, and also he's a music writer, so there's these great sections on like begging songs and all of these complex things that he wraps together, and every book he writes gets better and better. So that's one. Wow. And then another author who I love, Danzy Senna. Danzy Senna wrote a book called Caucasia, which was her debut back in the 90s. And she has continued to write these great satirical novels about mixed race people, black and white, people like me. And she's my great novelist. She's writing to the issues that I'm most interested in. And her newest book is called Colored Television. And it is about a woman who is a English professor trying to write her second book, speaking of debut novels, and trying to get tenure, and she is struggling. So she decides to go work in Hollywood for a hotshot Hollywood producer who wants to make television about mixed people. And it is a hilarious satire. I cannot wait for it to come out. I think people are going to flip over it. It is such a good time.
So Tracy, as you think about these different examples, do you see any patterns of perhaps how in some cases a first hit turns into lasting success and others not so much? Or perhaps some people just have one book in them?
I don't know that there's necessarily a clear pattern. I think sometimes it matters when a book comes into the world. It matters what's going on. It matters what the cultural zeitgeist is sort of attaching itself to. I think it's hard for debut authors to sell books. They're an unknown quantity. If you go to the bookstore, you're going to reach for a book by an author that you already know and love, because maybe you only read two or three books a year. And are you really going to test it out on someone who's never written anything before?
Or the book that 12 of my friends have mentioned.
Right? Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think it's so important to support debut authors, because there are debut authors who are writing amazing things. And you might get to be, you know, on the ground floor of the next Toni Morrison reading The Bluest Eye, and you're like, this is amazing. I'm going to tell all my friends. So I like to kind of stick my neck out and read debut authors, because then I get to discover my new favorite author. And then when their second book comes out, it's really exciting for me.
Mm. Well, finally, Tracy, do a little legwork for us. Okay. Suggest to us a couple authors.
I've got a few debuts from this year, but I have a much longer list up on the website. Folks can find it there. Doing your job for you, Scott.
Thank you very much. You want to say it out loud for us? Yeah, hereandnow.org.
Yeah, hereandnow.org.
That's it. Okay. No, you're doing my job. Okay, what's on your list?
So the first one is a book called Hereafter, and it's by a woman named Amy Lynn. And this is nonfiction. It's a grief memoir. And her husband was about 32. Amy was 30 or 31. Her husband suddenly died. And she writes this book that is so beautiful. It is reminiscent of Joan Didion's Year of Magical Thinking or many other grief memoirs, you know, that it's sort of told in these vignettes. But it's so rare that a young person has this sort of experience and they're able to write about it so beautifully and so movingly. It's very short, and I loved this book. So that's one. There's a new book called Oye, which will be out in May. It's by Melissa Mogollon, and it is sort of a comedy, but also a coming-of-age story and maybe a little dramatic and a family saga and all of those things tied into one, where this sister is making phone calls to her other sister, and it just like devolves into crazy family goodness. So that's sort of a more fun debut novel. And then the last one, I would say, another nonfiction book, because you know me, it's called Madness, Race and Insanity in a Jim Crow Asylum by Antonia Hilton. It's sort of, you know, investigative, narrative, nonfiction about a sane asylum in the 1900s that was only for Black patients. And it digs into this 93-year-old history of Crownsville Hospital. It's one of those unputdownable books. It's really exciting, intense stuff.
We have been speaking about author debuts with Tracy Thomas, our go-to book expert. As Tracy said, we will have her full book list on our website, hereandnow.org. Tracy, thanks as always.
Thank you, Scott.